Scrolling back, it became clear that all the weekends when Jake was supposedly away working had been spent in five-star hotels in Paris, New York, Venice, and Rome. While Hannah had budgeted and saved for the modest flat of their own that everyone under 30 dreamt of getting, Jake had been spending his money and time with another woman. Confronted, he refused to tell her more. "What's the point? Eve and I are together. Why did you lie about our marriage being dead? It is dead. It's been dead for years." "It isn't dead," Hannah almost screamed. "We still have sex, or do you not tell her that?" This was true, although the last time had been several months ago. Nearer to us, on the troop ships, were smaller vessels that had been protecting the convoy, as well as hundreds of landing craft. I was reassured by the size of our force, by the solid steel of our shipping. But if this was the weight of our sledgehammer, with 50,000 men waiting to go ashore, then the nut that we were preparing to crack must be... Breathing in again, I decided not to think about the enemy. I pictured instead the Italian inhabitants of the town and its surroundings, whose lives had only a few minutes of relative tranquility left to run. Sleeping children, two or three to a wooden bed. Grandmothers in their widow's black. Farmers who had already yielded their meagre harvests to the enemy. Boat builders and peasants. Who else might scrape a living from the edges of the marsh? Now Jupiter Omnipotens was about to unleash his thunderbolts on the plain of Latium.
"What's the matter?" he asked. Notwithstanding the darkness of the shuttered room, he saw her face on a sudden, distraught with terror.
"Someone just tried the door."
"Well, perhaps it was the Amma or one of the boys."
"They never come at this time. They know I always sleep after tiffin."
"Who else could it be?"
"Walter,"
she whispered, her lips trembling. She pointed to his shoes. He tried to put them on, but his nervousness, for her alarm was affecting him, made him clumsy, and besides, they were on the tight side. With a faint gasp of impatience, she gave him a shoehorn. She slipped into a kimono and in her bare feet went over to her dressing table. Her hair was shingled, and with a comb she had repaired its disorder before he had laced his second shoe. She handed him his coat.
"How shall I get out?"
"You'd better wait a bit. I'll look out and see that it's all right."
"It can't possibly be Walter. He doesn't leave the laboratory till 5.
"Who is it, then?"
They spoke in whispers now. She was quaking. It occurred to him that in an emergency she would lose her head, and on a sudden he felt angry with her. If it wasn't safe, why the devil had she said it was? She caught her breath and put her hand on his arm. He followed the direction of her glance. They stood facing the windows that led out on the veranda.
"Simple," he said. "So simple that I was very much afraid that it was what you meant me to do."
I told him that I had never attempted to kill him, that I could have done it a dozen times if I had wished.
"I suppose so," he replied. "But I counted on you leaving me alone. You would only have exchanged me for the police, and it was obviously wiser to persuade me that you had gone. You did, as a matter of fact."
His voice had a weary harshness. He must have been in fear of his life all the time that he was at the farm. A braver man, and a cleverer than I am, but without, I was going to write, ethics. But God knows what right I have to claim any.